Hello, I'm Gui.
I'm Afif.
I'm Long.
And you're listening to Copy Overflow, a monthly podcast about software development. So, during our pre-production meeting...
Pre-production. Sounds fancy.
Yeah, that's a very fancy way to say we were planning for recording this. Like, right before this, we were talking about what topic we want to talk about, right? And then we were throwing some ideas. We already decided on one topic to talk about, but we decided to do a last-minute U-turn to talk about interviews. Because somehow, or rather, the conversation just went down to, like, talking about interviews. Because I think very recently, Afif gone through interview process. I think it's a good opportunity with the experience still fresh in your mind, right, Afif, about, like, the whole interview process. And we were just talking about the number of rounds you have to go through. Do you want to share a bit about that?
Yeah, so I attended a lot of interviews, not just this time. So I just got a job starting this March. So it's just very recently I went through all this interview process. But also, I also just left my previous job, which was only 10 months old. I also just had a lot of rounds of interviews like 10 months or a year ago, so everything was kind of still fresh. What was your question again?
No, the number of rounds, because right before this we were talking about number of rounds, right? Because he had like an interview with a company that went for like 7 or 8 rounds, I think you were mentioning.
Almost all of the interviews that I went through have about at least 3 or 4 rounds. Usually there'll be also take-home exercise, and then some of these take-home exercises can be really, really comprehensive. Some of them a bit more simplistic, right? For example, they provide you with a repo with a PR, and then you just go and comment on the PR. And so basically what they want to evaluate is just like how you interact with your peers on the pull requests.
Oh, it's a live PR, is it?
Yes, it's a live PR.
There's someone who's going to review. Is it like a fake?
It's a fake PR. So basically, they kind of like create a fake repository with like a very simplistic cut of their real repository. So it's still related to the business, but then they mock everything. So it was Rails PR, right? So they mock the active record, they mock the some of the services, and just very simple, not even Rails app, like a mock Rails app. They say, okay, we are going to implement this feature. So we have this colleague of yours, quote-unquote colleague of yours.
A mock colleague?
Yeah, mock colleague. Yes, it's a mock colleague. Have created a PR, so you are required to review.
Oh, okay, that's interesting. So you don't actually raise the PR, you actually comment on the PR, is it?
I don't raise the PR. So that's probably one of the simpler ones that I get. The ones that I get that's more complex is like you have to create like a full-blown shipping application. You can track this and that. You have to have tests, and then you have to have deployment pipelines and whatnot. If you give that to the company, they can actually just sell that product. So I didn't do that one.
Was it an option? You say you didn't do that one. Is it because it's an option or?
No, I felt like it was a red flag, to be honest. Like,
right, you totally rejected the interview.
Yeah, I totally rejected the interview. So I was reading that thing and I was like, okay, so this is a full-blown application already. Before I started work, I replied to them saying that, hey, you know, I can do this, but I'm not going to send you the GitHub link. I will come to your office and demo this thing in front of you, but I will not give you the code. And they were saying like, everyone else do this just fine, and like, it's up to you, something like that. So I was like, okay, I'm not gonna.
So it's not like a fake small service, like, you know, a small API that you can use to upload pictures. It's not like that, is it? It's
No.
So they're expecting like production grade code, basically, in a way.
Yeah, pretty much it.
Is it because the requirements are also like very complex as well?
I wouldn't say like, okay, so...
I'm sorry to anybody listening to us. It's like, what is going on? Why can't you just get straight to the point? It's because we don't want to leak any questions, right? It'll be kind of unfair.
I wouldn't say it's a full-blown SaaS. When I say it, you can be sold, it's like, I would consider it to be an MVP. Just now, I was giving an example of a shipping application, right? I wouldn't say it has like everything about shipping application, but then it has like a one slice of a shipping business domain that can be shipped as a MVP, like early MVP.
Hold on, when you say shipping domain, you mean logistics, right? And then when you say can ship, means you ship to production, right?
Oh, I was thinking that you're talking about shipping to production.
I'm sorry, I should have picked another example that doesn't have like this. Yeah, so it's a logistics business domain, but then they can take that and ship, as in like deploy that as an MVP for a logistics question. We have that as well. Some companies don't actually ask for take home, but they have like live coding. They block like 2 or 3 hours. They have questions. You do live coding in front of them. I also have that. Yeah, so each companies have like different ways of doing things. Yeah, but the craziest one is 7 steps. So you have culture review, and then I think engineer interview, and then take home exercise, and then review that take home, and then...
So that's 5 already, right?
That's 4.
Including the take home count as 1 round, I guess.
Yeah, so take home is 1 round, and then the review of the take home is 1 round, and then I think like meet the CEO or something. I can't remember what was it, but there are like 7 steps in the interview process. I didn't go through with that one as well, because at that time I already accepted a job offer with another company. You can have a wide range of different procedures that companies take to evaluate their candidates, so you just have to go through with it. Or you can also request for the process to be simplified.
Have you tried that? Like, how open are companies?
I have tried that with one company. They actually did that. They actually simplified the process for me. Probably because I already received a job offer, but I have about a week, I think, to answer that offer. I wanted to consider the other company as well. So what I did was I went to that company, the other company, the one that haven't offered me. So I just saying them, hey, you know, I already got an offer and I need to answer within a week. And can you expedite the process for me so that we can also complete within a week? Then I can make a decision. In the end, for that particular company, originally there's supposed to be a take-home exercise and then the kind of like a whiteboard architectural question. In the end, they cut off the take-home exercise and I just did the architecture whiteboard thing.
Before we kind of deep dive into a bit, I definitely want to come back to whiteboarding, architectural questions and all. But I think it's nice to at least take a step back and look at the interview process holistically. Because you mentioned there are a lot of steps as part of the interview process. Would the companies you're interviewing with, like local, regional or regional-based?
Some of them is local, some of them is not. Like for example, the PR question that I said is actually not local. And I think it's not really related to regional practices. Almost all of them have kind of like the same vibe. Like usually they have like take home exercise and then they have like a review session with the engineers, something like that.
Yeah, that's kind of what I want to get to, right? Just to confirm, because usually they will be like, I think the first call usually be with someone from the people team. At least so far, my experience as well is usually the first call will be like with the people team, getting to understand us as a candidate better. Then usually next up it will be a technical test usually, which is probably a take home. Yeah, I think now because of remote hiring, it's all take home, right? I don't think anyone's like, come to our office and spend a whole day here. And then at the end of the day, we will look at you. I don't think that's happening anymore. But yeah, then there are like multiple rounds of technical interviews depending on the company, right? There could be whiteboarding, there could be meet the team, meet with other engineers, that sort of thing. Then usually at the end, it's usually meeting with either your hiring manager's manager, whether it's like the VP of engineering or VP of product or stuff like that. I think usually that's the case before the final round of like, right, everybody seems happy to talk to you, let's negotiate what you want. So I think that's usually it, right? I don't think it usually strays very far from this kind of framework. But of course, like the complexity and details of like how many actual rounds of interviews would differ company to company.
I think that sounds about right. No matter which company from which part of the world, usually it's like that.
Yeah, even with the current place I'm working at, it's headquartered overseas. So I did like interview with staff from overseas as well. But the hiring manager was local. So yeah, it's pretty much the same. But I think we can kind of use this structure and go in deeper. You already deep dive us into the whole technical part of it already. But I think we can like slowly break it down. But that helps with like covering the structure of the interview side, right? I think usually the first one is usually quite straightforward. Like chatting with someone from the recruitment team, usually someone from the talent recruitment from the people team is getting to know us, right? As the candidate better.
There will be another extra round if the recruiter is the external. You talk with the external recruiter first, then you talk with the internal HR people.
This is like LinkedIn. Yeah, usually LinkedIn. They engage external recruiters to help recruit on their behalf.
I've never actually got any interviews from LinkedIn. There's a lot of recruiters that actually PM me, but I have like this vibe of the trustworthiness is not really up to par.
Because it feels like spam, is it?
Yeah, it feels like spam. So
I recently changed my attitude about this because I saw a tweet about this. So someone was saying like, oh, you know, all those spam you get in LinkedIn, you actually can like quote unquote utilize them, make them work for you. What I do now is when there's people like, hey, there's a job about this, are you interested? I say, I'm not looking for anything right now, but I am looking for very specifically XYZ. And then they're like, oh, okay, we'll keep in mind about this, and then we'll let you know if this is available or whatever. Previously, I used to just ignore or like, you know, don't care or like just delete. But now it's like, I mean, you reach out to me, might as well let you know. I think there are some like recruiters are getting more personalized now. I recently received someone who recorded them and the screen and then looking through my LinkedIn profile. I think Long, do you have a similar experience?
Yes, yes, I have received that in my email. That's kind of a bit, I don't want to use the word creepy, but it feels a bit like people going through my medical checkup reports and telling me how.
But your LinkedIn profile is public, right?
Yeah, I know that. It's just feel a bit weird.
It's like a dating profile. You just got swipe right.
It's not just swipe right. It's like the recruiter recording why they swipe right. Showing you your profile. Your profile seems interesting. It highlights this and this. So because of that, I'm going to, you know, swipe right. I think you're a good fit. It's that level.
Yeah, yeah. It's like people going a dating site, record a video of your dating profile and tell them why they want to date you. Going through all the details.
So they even like narrate all the decisions and stuff. Oh, wow. Okay.
It's like, I saw you working from this year to this year on this position, which involved this technology. I think they will be fit this certain kind of new roles there or new talents.
Oh, that's new.
Do you have experience talking to external recruiter?
I did have experience. So usually I think what they're trying to clarify with you is, what is this role they're approaching you about? It's less like the recruiter interviewing you, maybe a little bit like the recruiter want to see how you're going to react when you talk to people. But it's more like the recruiter explaining more in details about the roles that the recruiter trying to get you in. It's usually like a 15 minutes thing or less than 30 minutes.
It sounds more like they want to make sure that you understand what you are applying to. Like.
Yes, correct. Because like all these recruiters, when they approach you, I have this position at, I don't know, multinational companies. They never actually tell you which company and what exactly is the role. They would just briefly go through like, this role required this and this and that skills, and then you seem to be a good fit, blah blah blah. So usually that's the first round.
During that session, would they tell you like, this is actually for this company and
yes,
these are
yes.
The actual, so they will go into detail about like the rough thing that they approach you about, like, okay.
They'll give you the details and also I guess screen you to see if you respond well questions. More like a Q&A rather than an interview.
So after that, you talk to someone internal already, to the company itself already, is it?
Yes, yes. So it's like talking to two recruiters because one is internal, one is external.
My experience in general is that I don't even talk to the internal recruiter nowadays. Usually it's the lead of the team that's looking for the engineer. So I think that's true for almost all of the... Basically, we're not talking to the people's team. We actually talk to the manager of the engineering team that is looking for a new hire. It's either the manager or the CTO or the product people from the engineering team that's looking.
Not someone from HR, basically.
Yeah, so not someone from HR. I think the first round serves like a culture review kind of. They want to get a feel of, would we like to work with this candidate based on how they talk or how they carry themselves, something like that. That was what the vibe I got lah. Usually it's not really technical, it's just asking about your past experiences and like your challenges, blah blah blah. It's not even to the recruiter anymore.
Even for like first rounds, talking to like internal recruiters, it's kind of the same thing, right? They want to know like whatever you say in your resume is like not a lie. And kind of want to get to know you as a person. But I think for your case, it's practically the same thing. It's just that you're talking to the hiring manager already. I'm wondering, is it because there were some cases where the hiring manager approached you to apply for the job, right? Is it those cases or it didn't matter? Like even a job opening you saw, you applied through normal means, still also like the first round was with the hiring manager.
Yeah, already. Even with the jobs that I applied myself, it's actually not from the people's team anymore. I think because it's, you evaluate better, right, with the technical background that you have. So for example, like if the people's team who's not really technical, they can verify that, oh, okay, this guy knows JavaScript, but they cannot test like to what extent, or like they wouldn't probably understand the technical challenges if the guy explains something like that.
Yeah, I think as long as the other engineers are not involved in the first round, I think that's fine. Usually it's like a first level filter, whether through like the recruiter or through the hiring manager.
I also have run into the internal recruiter who somewhat technical, but I guess he's hiring for a company whose everyone is technical, so he sort of have to know a little bit of that.
In one of the previous places I worked at, they had very dedicated hiring. For example, there was a talent recruiter just for like data science stuff, for example, and they kind of have better knowledge and insight into like, you know, what data science team requires and whatnot. And then there's another one just for like backend engineering, so they kind of have an idea of what to ask, to, you know, poke around a bit on the surface just to make sure, you know, you're not lying
and you're not AI.
I also had one experience where the first round is actually with the CEO himself.
Is it because it's a startup or...?
No, it's not a startup. It's like profitable multi-million dollar company already. The first round is with the CEO. So I was kind of holding back in terms of like technical. One of the questions I always ask is like, how's the state of automated testing in that company? Because I want to have a peace of mind. Like, I don't want to go into companies that don't have that set up because that's going to be terrible to work with. So I was expecting kind of like a very brief overview of that, or like maybe they say I have to ask my engineer or something like that. And this guy explained it so well, even with all the decisions within the... And so I was like, are you a developer? So he's like, oh yeah, I was a developer, but then now that my company has grown, I've become a CEO and don't do that developer thing anymore. So it's like, oh okay, then that's probably why you can answer that thing super detailed. Judging from that, he's also a very good developer as well.
Right. Is it because he's the founder?
Yeah, he was just the founder. He used to do it solo. And then his company grew and now he hires other engineers to do it and just deal with the business stuff.
That will make sense like, if he's the founder.
I wouldn't expect that. It's a CEO, it's not CTO.
I mean, you can start up your own company, just call yourself CEO. But let's move on to like technical interview. I think that's the meat of the conversation where we're at, right? So yeah, you were talking about, yeah, usually there's a take-home test and it could be, I think most of the time now, I think, okay, so context is all three of us are full stack, back end, I don't know, front end. I don't even know what to label us anymore.
We don't need a label, we are just software dev, that's all.
We're on-demand engineers.
We are, yeah, front end slash back end slash full stack. So we don't do mobile, right? All three of us, we don't do mobile development. So we don't have any clue on like that side of things. Also, we don't do like, you know, embedded stuff and hardware stuff. So we also have no idea about that. But because we focus on web, so a lot of times it's a take-home test. Usually, I think it's like write API services. Yeah, I'm trying to think through like previous tests that I've gotten. Usually the first technical round is there's this assignment with requirements, write this API. And of course, different companies have different kind of details in their API. Some are more flexible and open. It's like, these are the logic that we need, just implement it however you want. Some have like very detailed on like, you must implement this and this and this and this and this. I think that's usually the first round. Anything else I miss out? Or have you seen other variation?
I've also seen a slight variation on, instead of API, it will be a CLI tool. You have to develop a CLI tool. But the underlying that, other than it being a CLI rather than an API, everything else is the same. You have to fulfill this certain requirement, blah blah blah. But it's a CLI tool.
Is the company building CLI tools or something? Or
No. Is there a company that only builds CLI tools as a business?
HashiCorp.
Oh.
I don't know. Maybe their product is vast and you might be placed into like a CLI making team or something. Maybe you apply for AWS and you have to build the AWS CLI or something like that.
Whoa. Yeah, but underlying, other than it being a CLI, I guess the rest are the same.
I guess tangent a bit because I have gone through like ops interview as well. So ops interview, I don't know about nowadays actually. I don't do the ops interview anymore. But I mean, when I was interviewing for ops, it was you go to office, spend 8 hours, work on something kind of thing. So I don't know what the take-home test equivalent would look like, to be frank. I really have no idea.
You have to deploy Kubernetes, blah, blah, blah. That's some things.
Deploy your blog with Kubernetes.
No idea. But the time that I was doing it was like using Docker, like use Docker to do XYZ. But I had to demo it at the end of the session, so...
I guess you could still do the same when you take home, right?
I guess.
Deploy certain thing to certain somewhere, deploy this container, orchestrate this stuff or that.
Yeah, possible. But if you want candidates to do that, you have to kind of find a free service that candidates can use, right? Or unless you give them a company account. Hey, use this account to log in.
But yeah, I think in most companies, generally, that's what they do. Like, I think you nailed that point. Sometimes it's a bit more detailed in terms of like what technology you have to use and stuff like that. Sometimes it's just like let you run free and they will evaluate at the end how did you do. You can be as creative as you want. And they will see the effort that you did. I had one company that specifically asked me to use RxJS. It was so much fun, like doing that, but I had a lot of trouble consuming RxJS within like 5 days. So juggling with work as well, like, you know, you still have to work and then you have to melt your brain with RxJS within 5 days. It was fun. The good thing about the company is that they actually pay you for the take-home exercise. So I didn't mind. Hey, maybe we can talk about that as well. I had two companies that actually pay me for my time and quite significant amounts in relation to like how long I spent the time.
They also say something about that company culture, right? In a way.
That's true. You probably don't have to ask whether this company is stable or not in terms of financial, because if they can pay you for just doing the interviews, then they can pay you for the work.
What if during one all hands meeting, sorry guys, we're closing now because we keep paying our candidates and we can't hire anybody.
Turns out there's like one guy who sent 10 resumes and like collect all the application fees. Because it's actually quite significant and it was a shock to me as well. I didn't expect it to be a huge amount.
Yeah, I guess these companies also are like financially prepared for this as well, because you know, when they start off the hiring.
Both companies are profitable. They're not like startup levels.
Actually, a lot of companies would probably have enough money to make this happen. But whether there's a culture or conviction to make this happen, I think that says a lot about that organizations, right? They appreciate engineering times, the effort you put to write codes. At least when I hear about it, that's how I feel about the company.
So especially if you are the kind of company that asks for like very comprehensive take-home exercise, providing some compensation is the least you can do. They already spend time doing a very comprehensive take-home exercise. You should at least compensate them a little bit.
Coming back to like something you talked about earlier, right, about the logistic application that you had to deploy. If they upfront mentioned like, we're going to compensate you for this, would you have given them the code?
No, I don't think so. Because...
Oh, you still won't? Okay.
It's really a real MVP based on the requirements.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. If they're saying we'll compensate you with this much upfront, that you do this, you think to us, we'll compensate you this much. Would you have changed your mind about it? Or it depends on the number?
If I had done that as a freelance project, I would have gotten much more.
I'm hearing is it depends on how much they're willing to pay you.
Yeah, if they give me like thousands or tens of thousands, then yeah. Because based on the requirements, I feel like I can probably get in the thousands based on the freelance rate, like the market rate.
That also means the company is exploiting interviewing as a way to outsourcing works.
If they ask all the candidates to do the same thing, then no, right?
We should probably give the benefit of the doubt as well. Like, they're genuine about it, right? It's just a test. But then I still feel like we have to be a bit wary about that. So the company that I was applying to was a software house. And that kind of adds to the red flag as well. It's not a product house. So they can actually just take my code and just keep it in the cold storage until they get like a logistics client. And just let's see what the candidates has like. Yeah, so that's the thing that I don't want to happen last. I'm not saying that they actually have bad intentions. Maybe they are just genuinely testing you. But then I don't feel confident about it, because even when I replied to them that I'm not going to give you the code, I'm just going to demo it at your office, they were not like, you can definitely do that. I totally understand. They don't do that. They were like this passive aggressiveness. It's up to you, but all the other candidates actually don't have problem with this or something like that. So they're saying like, I'm the problem for thinking it this way, but I'm just covering my butt.
But they didn't explicitly say it also, so...
That's the thing. We should probably give a benefit of the doubt as well, but I want to be extra wary about that.
Did they specifically mention, is there a reason why they would want to see your code? Like, did they mention at all, especially?
Don't remember saying that. They just said that it's up to you, but all the other candidates go through the same thing.
Right. I would imagine a better response to you would be like, yeah, we want to assess your code for XYZ. So that's why we would like to look at your code. Yeah, I think that would be a nicer response.
Like, I would have presented the code as well. I wouldn't just demo. It wasn't during COVID. Like, it was way before COVID. I can go to the office, like, as long as I want. I don't have to be worried about being in the same room or something like that. There's no such thing as that thing. And I was expecting, like, a supportive kind of response. But I'm not saying that they are scamming us. I just want to be clear about that. Yeah, but I don't feel comfortable about it, so I just decided not to go with it.
Yeah, I was wondering how much candidates willing to put up now. If you are like not desperate and you're like mid to senior level, how willing are you to put up with very complex test cases?
This is actually not my experience, but experience of my friend. So he applied to a company that actually asked for extensive take-home tests, and he did it super well. Really put effort, like have all like automated CI pipelines and everything, and then like really do well with the UI. It's not like a throwaway UI. Everything is great. And then suddenly at the final stage, he was offered a lower position. So he was applying for, I think it was a senior role or something like that. I don't know. It's an example. So example is he was applying for a senior role. One of them is take home exercise. He did that take home exercise really well. But then when it comes to the, I think, whiteboard or the session with the engineers, they deem like this guy probably is not up to par. I don't know what happened, right? But then he was offered intermediate instead of senior, something like that. And then he decided to reject because he was applying for senior. He mentioned to me that he got burned out because he really did the take-home exercise, really, really, really put effort into it. It still didn't land him what he expected. Interviewers also have to be wary about like this comprehensive kind of tests, because it can put a strain to people. They try to do the good job, because take home is only one part of the whole thing, right? So sometimes you excel at working alone, doing coding and stuff like that, but you might not excel on explaining stuff or something like that. Sometimes you might be excellent, but you're probably distracted during the personal interviews. It still costs you. I guess you have to find the right balance, like as an employer and as employees as well. Like you have to also put the right balance of how much you want to put your efforts into it. It's a really hard thing to gauge, like actually, like you also don't know.
Yeah, there's so much context, not just for the interviewee, the interviewers as well, right? How to assess and judge as well. Yeah, some companies are like very detailed where they have matrices on like, okay, they wrote tests to cover X and Y. And then it's like, okay, more points for that. Oh, they have CI, more points for that. But no points deduction if they didn't include it. No, stuff like that. Some companies I know have matrices in that way. Others is like, yeah, everybody look at this code. Tell me what you think. They will decide for the next round or not internally, right?
Some companies also use those tools that where you upload your code and then you automatically run your code again. The test they already have.
That means that they have to specify as their requirement, like you need this endpoint and it has to be detailed. I don't think we have enough time to walk through whiteboard interviews. It's a bit unfortunate though. It'd be nice to talk about it. Definitely like a few scenarios you could cover. But what Afif thought about at the last part there, I think that kind of summarizes it, right? Interviewing is hard and sometimes you really have to gauge. I'd rather it not be a kind of like a cat and mouse game on like, oh, what's the expectation they have? Is an interviewee, what's the expectation they have? Because a lot of times it's just like, this is a take home, you know, do whatever you want. And then it's like where we draw the line, right? On what is good. Am I going to fail this interview because I missed a test case or I didn't include CI or that sort of thing? Where's the baseline? Definitely something companies can do better is include matrices to interviewees. Like hey, if you do this, we'll definitely keep that in consideration. Think about that. Or make it explicitly mention that we don't really care if you add tests or not. It's good, but it won't affect the way we judge it. Unlikely.
Very unlikely.
Test is so essential.
I guess it depends also. Like for me, it's like if it's a fresh graduate, I don't expect to see tests. But if you're like 10 years senior and you don't write tests, I'm like...
Then you shouldn't include the part where having a test or not will not affect how we judge you. Right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, interview is hard. Stressful and hard.
And time consuming. And you might be doing freelancing, not knowing it.
Post-interview is also hard. You have to wait and then you get rejections. Some companies don't actually give you enough context about why they reject.
My bar is set so low, if they get back to me, that's good enough. I have so many companies ghost me. All these companies who ghost people are calling you out. So many companies ghost me, man.
After the take-home? Seriously?
Oh, there's one where, early stage, quite a few. There was one where I even talked to the manager's manager and then I got ghosted.
Wow. Okay, I've never experienced that. I've got ghosted like in the early sessions.
Submitting the CV and stuff like that.
Submitting CV, normal lah. But then after talking to the first person and then got ghosted. I think that happens. If you already went through like multiple rounds or at least the technical part and then you got ghosted, it's a bit rude lah, I think.
Especially after the technical part. It's like we spent the time to write the code and you didn't have the time to write the emails.
So annoying. Anyway.
But I did have like positive experience from rejection. They actually specified why they decided not to proceed with me. Very specific reasons and how I can improve on that. Yeah, even if it's a rejection, I was like, yeah, I'm happy I actually tried to apply that. I learned something. Yeah.
I've got that as well. And I really appreciate that. Like they actually explain one by one what this engineer says. They have like multiple engineers. In that case, it wasn't actually rejection. They actually still offer me, but they actually give me feedback on what I can improve on based on the interviews. They were saying like, you might want to prepare a bit. Oh no, they caught me. I didn't prepare. But in my defense, I was really busy with my family life. So I couldn't.
Actually, that's a good thing also, right? Other than knowing why you got rejected, maybe you also want to know why you got accepted. We seldom see that, right? Like,
that kind of feedback also can actually disappoint you in some sense. In my case personally, that company, that same company, actually still offered me a job. And they said that your technical needs some brushing up, but we are still offering you because your communication. I felt like, okay, I spent like 8 years in my career improving my technical skills, right? And then I got a job offer not because of my technical skills, it's actually because of my communication skills.
But they also say you have other strengths.
It actually shows... Also, like communication is usually really, really important as well. Like, it's also part of what they actually look for, especially in the senior roles. I think in junior roles, they actually just want to see if you can code. As you move towards the senior, you are actually dealing with a lot more people. So I think communication is also key. But I mean, it feels a bit like, because you always focus on technical and then you got feedback saying that, hey, you know, your technical is not up to par yet, but you're still okay because you can communicate. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I think people sometimes underestimate the importance of communication skill because you always work on the product as a team unless you're hiring to work on the code base alone and then ship it alone, then maybe you don't need communication skill. But other than that, you always need, especially as a team player.
I think if the company is not looking at communication skill, it's also a red flag. Maybe they work in silos and so.
This has been us complaining about. Okay, maybe not us. Feels like Afi was complaining most of the time, but
sorry.
We did praise. We did some praise, right?
This was our rant on interviews. Yeah, so this has been the episode. Follow us on Twitter, Copy Overflow. We are also available on all podcast platforms, including Spotify, YouTube Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube as well.
Don't get your Copy Overflow during an interview.
If they serve you coffee. All right, thank you.
Thank you.